Okay, turn to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Daniel, you read main verse, Exodus 4, 2 through 5. 2 through 5. Will, let me just pass out scriptures real fast. Will you read Exodus 4:2? Robert, Exodus 4:4. Devin, Exodus 3:3, and Caleb, Exodus 4:4, the second time. So, let's talk about Jonathan Heimberg, and he was telling about I think it was 2 weeks ago that they were supposed to have outreach on a night. That was when we had that strange couple of days of bitter cold, kind of moved through here and then went there. And so when they come for outreach, it's freezing cold, so the outreach is not going to work. And so then what do you do? And so instead of going home, they got two of the guys said, hey, why don't we get a list of the new converts? And they were visiting, making calls. And so the point was making the most of opportunity. And so this brings up the issue of breakthroughs, or ministry often is taking a chance or making the most of an opportunity. That's a very important ministry lesson. So in the scripture that we read here, it is Moses preparing for ministry. So you have chapter 3 is God calling Moses. Then move into chapter 4, you have Moses, objections, I don't know. And so God is going to help him. And so there are a number of object lessons that are here. It's, you know, put your hand in, it's leprous, put it, you know, that was numbers of lessons. And then one of these is, what is in your hand, throw the stick down, and then he says, it turns into a snake, and the Bible says in the scripture we're going to read that he took up the serpent by the tail. And that's so this is more than just, I want you to think about this. So on the one hand, you had these things were signs for the people who would see them, but it was far more than that. Is actually God is telling Moses some lessons about ministry. How do you approach ministry? One of those has to do with taking the serpent by the tail. And so really we're talking about opportunity. So this lesson is called Taking Opportunity by the Tail. Exodus 4, 2 through 5.
So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you.
Okay, take an opportunity by the tail. Let's talk about the arena of opportunity for a moment. It is a wrong idea. Sometimes guys have the ideas that things that we do in the fellowship all came by divine vision or by revelation, that an angel appeared to Pastor Mitchell and said, thou shalt play rock and roll. and there was a prophecy, and God said, I say unto thee, my people, thou shalt have haunted house. And this was something that was supernatural, divine, blueprint that from heaven, like Moses getting the blueprint in heaven, and God said, thou shalt put blood upon the faces of the actors in the, you know. And it's actually not like that. So the reason why that's important is that you have guys that can only think in terms of either, you know, what we do, which is not a bad thing, or waiting until God speaks to them. And so apart from God speaking to them, then they don't try anything or do anything. So Our scripture is actually talking about an approach of ministry that is opportunity, working with what is available. And that is that's an important lesson. God calls him while he's at work, right, on the backside of the desert, tending sheep. That's his job. So it is in that arena that God calls him to ministry, and he's carrying the tools of his trade, which would be a rod and a staff. And so God asks him the question, what do you have? So, I'm calling you to a work for God. Well, I'm not sure about the word God. You know, how can this be? What do you already have right now? That is as an important lesson. So, this is more than God scratching his head thinking, what could we possibly use to defeat the powers of hell? He's actually teaching Moses, how do you look at life? You're going to go into ministry. You've got to have eyes that see. And one of those is what's in your hand. So in every situation you are in, there is opportunity or there is possibility. Opportunity is a set of circumstances that make things possible. Right? It's possible that you could, in this case, how are you going to bring deliverance? It's possible through a stick. So, the first part of this, if you're going to have eyes for opportunity, is simply having eyes for where you are. Right? God didn't say to him, thou shalt climb the highest mountain, and when thou findest the cave that is hidden behind the third, bush on the right, and you remove the holy rock, that's not what he said. Is what do you have right now? And that's a very important ministry. So that can be a specific tool. That's one way to look at it. So let's think about this from numbers of different angles. A tool. What's the tool that you have right now? What do you already have? What do you already have the ability to do? I've got a stick. I know how to use this stick. Okay, then we'll use that. For some people, that may be a skill. That may be a talent. That may be time that is available. And you discover that in every area that you're going to have different things available to them. When Angel was in Española, they did graffiti contests. I think that was actually pre-existing from him, but that's something that that there are guys that had abilities. They obviously used to use to deface, but that is what's in your hand. What can we use for outreach? Well, I'm not real good at opera, but I do know how to tag. So why don't we use that? Right? Isn't that a modern way of looking at what's in your hand? A can of paint. Okay, so let's use that. Right? So that's one way of looking at it. Maybe that's a testimony or whatever it might be. So it can be a place. That's one of the things that you have to have. You have to have an eye for opportunity. I don't know if you remember, I've told on different occasions about I was preaching for a guy. I used to pastor in an area that was quite cold for a lot of the year, cold and rainy. And I went and preached for a guy. He was in a tropical area, a beachside community. And so to me, I'm drooling at the outreach opportunities. It's like in Australia, they kind of have city rules. Every so many blocks of housing or business, you have to have a park. So everywhere they set aside these beautiful parks, and I'm looking like outreach, taking it by the beach. It's like park. It's like, and I'm like, have you ever done outreach there? No. You ever done outreach here? No. You ever done outreach here? No. So he then is telling me how hard the city is, and no one wants to come. And I'm looking like, look. And finally I said, dude, you're telling me how hard this is, and you've never even tried any of these places? I would kill to have these places. And the weather, 75 degrees every stinking day. This is fantastic, So that may be that you have, every city has a place of opportunity. That's our park outreach. Pretty incredible, Last week, how many did we have saved at the
11?
We had 11 saved You know, and the downtown plaza, we've been doing that now for, 42 years. We've been outreaching there because that is a place, right? That's another way of looking. What's in your hand? We have a place. We have an opportunity, or that can be a time. Then, of course, you've got to have an eye for things. And God bless the city of Prescott as they put on a steady stream of events to gather people downtown so we can evangelize them. That's very kind of them to do that. So that's 4th of July, this weekend. It's the Sesquicentennial, 150th, whatever it's called. 150th, that's easier to say. And so they're gathered. So that in ministry, you have to have an eye for opportunity. That's going on all day long. They're going to have concerts still. That's still going on today, right? Mm-hmm. On today, on through today. It's still this afternoon. There's going to be tons of people gathered downtown. Of the good citizens of Prescott gathered there. That's an eye for opportunity that we have to have. So, that's first of all the arena of opportunity, looking at what is available, and you have to have that kind of eye. Number two, the truth about opportunity. So now you get into, the first question is, what's in your hand? That's how you look at it. Throw it down, and what does it become? It doesn't become fairy dust. Doesn't become, you know, beef jerky or something useful. It becomes a snake. So, you can look at it in two ways. Obviously, you can look at this as a sign, you know. Hey, you need to believe God. Why should I believe God? Watch this. You know, it's like a party trick. Hey, look at this. Watch my hand. You know. This is that's one way to look at it. But I think God is, in a deeper sense, God is actually showing him something. You throw this down. This is going to help you. But what does it become? It's not something good. So then, first thing, what's in your hand? Second part of the equation is, take it by the tail. Take what by the tail? A snake. Now, personally, I think that's just sick and wrong. I don't think that's... God does not need to teach me that lesson. I don't like snakes. So, but God is showing him something, is you pick up something that does not look favorable. And it's going to help you. So that's actually a way of looking at life. Exodus 4:2.
And the Lord said unto him, what is in your hand? And he said, a rod.
Okay, so let's look at this in this sense. So this is actually backing up a step, is that opportunity often doesn't look promising. That's an important lesson. What do you have? Well, all I got is a stick. It's a dead branch of a tree. This doesn't look like much. And so, when you have an eye for opportunity, one of the things that you are looking at is you're looking at things that initially are less than promising. So, I was talking with Jonathan about this, is that the original Family Fun Day. So, here's a bit of trivia for you that some of you might not know, is some of the guys were getting together discussing possibilities of how could we reach people, and it was Daniel Swope who had the idea, what about if we were to do, you know, puppets outdoors? Well, personally to me, that sounds dumb. But, and I like what Jonathan said. He said it was the idea that sucked the least. So of all the ideas that everybody else had, sucked worse than that one. So we said, okay, let's do that. But at the first, you know, and Jonathan Kay was saying, hey, we got this idea. We're going to put puppets in the park. I was like, okay. And so we did it. And so in the first one, we had like 900 visitors. So it's like, did I say it sucked? I like that idea. That was very good. And so So the issue is that lots of churches now use this idea of a family fun day, in which Daniel should have patented it, and he could have got royalties, but he didn't do that. So the whole point is that an opportunity might not be something that looks incredible. And that may be true. I'm having fun with this, but you get the idea. Is that sometimes ideas are not something that this is going to be incredible, that this is the most powerful program or something. It often is something simple. What do you have? I have a stick, but I'm going to try this. So it's worth trying things. I've tried lots of things that didn't work. That's one of the keys. And if you look at my parents coming to Prescott, Arizona. Being honest is coming to Prescott was simply the idea that sucked the least, really, because it wasn't promising. It wasn't like we are offering you the opportunity of a lifetime. This is a broken church in a tiny town of 13,000 people, and so we were going to quit and do nothing. So might as well do that. But that's a valid way of looking at life. So the point that I'm trying to make is that some guys can only think in this day and age, we have more technology. You know, I go places, I laugh. Now when I preach out, it's very common that the guys, when they're having the words on the screen, is they have waterfalls that move behind them and light shows and the surf is coming in and out. For when Lisa and I started, it was like we wrote the words on plastic sheets, and then it was one of those you didn't plan good yet. So the point is, we have guys today that they come out of churches where everything that is done is slick, right? Is this production, as we've got this high tech man, and where the cast is going to be 250 people, and it's going to be a laser light show. So the point that God is making is, first of all, how do you look at life? That's what we said. Second of all is, how do you look at what you can do? It doesn't have to look like the best possible. And then the third is looking at bad situations. Exodus 4:4.
And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand.
Okay, so here's the third great lesson here. And that is making the best of bad situations. Because remember what God is doing here. He's preparing him for ministry. So that's a profound lesson. He's saying in ministry, sometimes the ministry is going to be like snakes. That's what's going to be involved here. So what do you do when you're involved in the ministry and it turns into a snake? You take it by the tail. You don't run away looking for a snake-free environment. You take the snake by the tail. So that then is how you look at bad opportunities. The first lesson is, how do you look at life in general? Then secondly, how do you look at what you do have available, even though it might not look good? And the third lesson is, how do you look at things that are bad or that seem negative? This is, I've told you that years ago, Tom Payne, this was when he was pastoring in Las Vegas, Nevada, now it's Pastor Lamb's church, that when he was pastoring there, they had a rainstorm in Vegas, which rain in desert areas doesn't do good. And they called and said, Pastor, the church is underwater. I don't remember what he said. It's like 4 inches of water. The whole entire building is flooded. So there's no way we're going to be able to have church there tonight. So that's a snake. That ministry is filled with tons of things like that. What do you do when your opportunity turns into a snake? And so Tom said, on principle, we don't let the devil win. So, all right, call everybody. This is in the days before text. And we used to have tin cans with strings, and you call people in that way. Call people and at somebody's apartment, we're going to show a movie. So he went and photocopied a few cheesy flyers, knocked on a few doors, want to come see a movie, and I don't remember, it had 11 saved or 15 saved or something. But anyway, so the point was, and I remember Pastor Mitchell back then telling me about that, and he was impressed. What an excellent young man Tom Payne is. And part of that was, Tom said, I'm going to take the serpent by the tail. So here's a principle. I want you to write this down, or write it in your heart somewhere. This is one of the lessons of ministry: is don't let the serpent win. Okay, because you're gonna have a ton of these. The power is gonna go out, or something bad is gonna happen. How do you take the serpent by the tail? There ought to be something that was what Tom Paine. Isn't that in essence what he was saying? On principle, I'm not going to let the devil win. All right? So you don't let the serpent win. That's a key in ministry. And in doing that, it turned into something good. Final thought, the revelation about opportunity. Is our scripture says, if you have those three things at work in you, how you look at opportunity in general, how you look at what you have specifically, and how you look at problems, then we see that this releases some benefits. Number one, this is how God guides us. Exodus 3:3.
Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.
Okay. You will see that guidance comes often just by responding to opportunity. And that is often what happens, is you have men who have stumbled into the will of God because they have responded to an opportunity and doors are unlocked. I'm going to try that. I'll see what happens. There's not an angel from heaven telling me to do that, but hey, there's a gathering of people. We could do this. Let's try. Number two is opportunity is never what it seems. Exodus 4:4. The second time. Is that Caleb?
Yes, sorry. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand.
Okay, so the key is, when did the snake become something good? Caleb, according to the scripture, when did the snake turn into something good?
When he took it by the tail.
Okay, so the point, what I want you to catch from Moses' perspective, as I said, if God told me, look, there's a big stinking snake, grab that. Is there an option B? Right? That doesn't. So Moses didn't know. And this is going to become the book of Exodus. You're all going to be reading it one day. Is all he knows is like, this might not turn out good. And if you're going to grab snakes, everybody knows you shouldn't do it by the tail. That's dumb. Grab it by the head and choke you to death. So, so this is the point is, there are no guarantees. And you've got to understand that. So the Moses didn't know that it was going to turn into a stick, but he took it by the tail. That's a very important lesson that you have to learn, is that there has to be the possibility that you try things that might not work out. I've had tremendous outreaches where numbers of people got saved. I've had ones where my wife didn't want to go. It just wasn't good. It wasn't good anyway, shape or form. So that's life. And that is what we have. You can never let your pride rule in that I don't want to try something because it might not work out well. I don't care if it works out well. There's something important for you as a disciple. We're in outreach season. I want you, if you're a disciple, I want you to be having an eye for opportunity, looking for places to have outreaches, and I want people to get saved because of that, but at the end of the day, I also don't care, in one sense, about the results, right? Because it's not a measuring stick. It's not like I'm putting you on a chart and saying, you only had five people saved? Well, the last guy had. I don't care. And you might try something. We're thinking about it, and it might suck. So what? That's taking the serpent by the tail. Is having an eye for opportunity. We tried it, didn't work. So what? You move on, try something else. The third thing is that opportunity unlocks things. is that Moses, taking the serpent by the tail, and all these issues that God was teaching him, that unlocked destiny in a nation. So the simple question I ask you is, what doors could you step through that might unlock your destiny in some way? Because there's always bigger things than results. We're very results-oriented. Numbers, noise, and nickels. But there's deeper things at work. So, part of me doing this lesson is, in the outreach season, I absolutely want you to have an eye for opportunity in that. Whether that is spontaneously. So, I say, this afternoon there's going to be tons of people on the plaza. Does there have to be an organized effort for you to take advantage of an opportunity? Is it only if we have flyers printed and announced, put in the bulletin? Or can you say, there's a group of people, the gospel could be presented. We could do something. Let's try it. That is an eye out for opportunity. Number two is, in the outreach season, I absolutely want you to be looking, how can we share the gospel this summer? And I preached last week on the opportunity or harvest in summer 2 weeks ago. And that is something that we have to take advantage of. You can't be thinking about it for 3 months or summer's going to be over. What can we do? Where is an opportunity? What can you try? Whether that is what we always do and you're just going to try it again, or whether you're trying something new, but that is an eye for opportunity. Okay, that's take an opportunity by the tail. Okay, questions? What does that bring up? Something you want to ask?
Lots of times, like, when outreaches don't work out, like, maybe they get rained on or something. And I've seen, like, guys or even myself will try to, like, come up with a plan B, but, like, the enthusiasm of everyone is kind of, like, not there. Like, even I've been guilty of, like, if it's rained out, like, let's just go to Denny's and call it a night, you know?
Sure.
How do you not drum up enthusiasm, but, I mean, do you just sort of make a new plan and lead by example, or do you try to, how do you?
Yeah, I think that could be part of it. Often, this is obviously Moses by himself, so it didn't matter how many were going to respond. It was that he was going to respond, that someone. So sure, I'm doing this as disciples, so it's probably a statistical probability that we're going to have some nights that are rained out or some things that will go wrong. So that would be something that all of you as disciples need to. So we need to think in those kinds of terms. And probably it would be something that you have an idea in mind, right? You should, especially, it's not like it's unexpected in summer to have rain. And then in the day you can kind of look and there is a possibility this might not work. So if not, what then? So, and that's up to you to come up with an idea. Yeah, so if other people aren't into it, that is the essence of pioneering. This is why discipleship is self-starting, because if you're pioneering, then that means you're going to be doing it by yourself, right? So if you just decide to go and eat pizza, if you're on your own, who's going to know, right? I don't call and check up on the guys. That's really up to them. So a lot of these things are personal, yeah. So that would begin with a personal decision. Yep.
When I was in Española, the church that we were at, the church was already there, but the parking lot was an ugly parking lot. It was a vex to my soul. It had potholes. Whenever it rained, it would puddle. It was an ugly parking lot, but it was that parking lot that opened the door for us to have an opportunity in the car show that they had, the citywide car show. is because they were actually looking for a space. They had run out of space. There were so many entries. They were looking for space to put a whole entire car club from Española.
Mm.
And when I had called them and told them that we wanted to be a part of the car show, and I said that, you know, they would feel free to use the parking lot, it opened the doors, number one, for people to come in. And then what we did from there was we put up a band at the end. And so, you know, here on one side of the car show, you have this huge stage where, you know, these pretty famous rappers are rapping. And then on the other side of us, you have our band. And the band that was playing actually drowned out all of the music that was coming from the other side. So when people came in, they got straight gospel. And we saw 25 people saved on that outreach, you know. But it was that parking lot that opened the door for, you know, us to be able to minister and see people saved.
Yeah. That's great.
Pastor, so then would this be something to contend for, is just eyes to see different opportunities?
Yeah. Yeah, that's something you should pray for. Absolutely. Is that, you know, constant part of, obviously that's a part of wisdom, isn't it? So one of my major prayers is for wisdom, and I pray, God, open my eyes, open my ears, let me see with spiritual eyes, and let me hear with spiritual ears, you know. So that would be in a number of different ways. That would be wisdom in the Bible, wisdom in counseling, wisdom in opportunities, right? To see with God's perspective, yeah. Sure, that's something to pray for, definitely. In advance. Yeah, very good. So, along these lines, and I tell you a cool story. I talked to my brother-in-law last night, Steve Zapata. So he just did a revival in Sydney, Australia, for a guy. There's a Vietnamese pastor. His name is Tony Huang. We might have him come. Tony Huang would be like, kind of like the equivalent of Roman Gutierrez. He was a Vietnamese, in the Vietnamese gangs. They have an area of Sydney. They call it Cabramatta. It was all Vietnamese. We used to call it Vietnamatta. And so this guy's a heavy-duty gangster, got saved. So now he's out pastoring. And so he went to the local mall, went to the local Westfield Mall, and he went up to the security guard, and he's asking the security guard if they could witness to people inside. And the guy's like, no way, absolutely not. And he says, man, we're just here to help young people and troubled youth and kids are on drugs and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the guy's like, absolutely not. So while he's talking to the security guard, a young kid starts mouthing off at the security guard. He's like 50 feet away. And Tony said the kid was looking at, making fun of the security guard. He's grabbing his crotch and he's flipping him off. And finally the security guard said, see that kid? He said, if you can change him, I'll let you do anything you want in here. So Tony goes right up to this kid. He's 16 years old. And the kid gets powerfully saved.
Wow.
Steve said he came all through the revival bringing people. And out of that, he's got favor now with the mall because his main troublemaker got saved. So, great story. Who knows how God could help us? Good. Any other questions?
Have you seen, like in the past, you're working in a certain area? I'm thinking like with Harkins. I mean, for years we've been faithful to, you know, witness over there, and we'd get kicked out. We always have trouble ever really being able to do anything out in the open. But my question is, do you think that because people were faithful in, I don't know what you'd say, preparation in that area to labor and work, do you think that opened a door to, you know, that the opportunity we have there now?
Yeah, definitely. The prayers of the people are absolutely, you know, so in everything, you got to, God knows how to unlock things. He says I'm the one who I open doors that no man can shut. So one of the things is that God has to unlock doors. And so in one simple case, it was dear old Lou Reese, who was our main opposition. So God moved on him to retire. God bless him. And things changed. Something changed supernaturally. So that would be true in every... One of the things I pray for occasionally is I pray in every school, God has to unlock. You know, God knows who can unlock. It's like that kid in the mall. So that would be true. God could give us some kids in every school that would unlock a school, in every large business in town, give us a key convert, right? So that's something that you got to pray for God to open doors. And part of that sometimes when there's opposition is God remove opposition, unlock things. So how he does that is his business. When we first were here, there was a chief of police who was vehemently opposing us, and he died. So, you know, so the point is not God, kill them. Damn. The point is, God, open the doors and remove opposition. Help us. You know, whatever you got to do. That's how he does it. It's his business. Somebody else. Any other questions? Clear. All right. There we go.
Pastor, would you say that a lot of times, I mean, just some guys get caught up in everything being slick and different things like that? That you did that one lesson on things being supernatural versus the natural. You know, like when you went to Australia, the flyer wasn't right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got something that. Kind of the same thing is like we're seeing things in the natural versus the God factor.
Yes, you know, numbers of things. I think it can be pride. There are guys that they really think that it is a matter of impressing people, and they're afraid of not impressing people. So that's pride that keeps some guys from it. It's a matter of where your faith is. Is your faith in God? Right? What is in your hand? A stick. So really, what you're saying is, my confidence is in God. So there are guys that their confidence is, and that actually is a disadvantage of you coming from a large church, is that we have, you know, we put on an event, you know, for our haunted house. You know, we paid, $700-$800 for that cool little laser that made the cone for Isaac to be in. So you're probably not going to have access to lasers when you go out, right? So it's like, man, how can we have revival? We don't have cool blue lasers. So that becomes a disadvantage. So then what happens, one of the things, I don't remember which lesson, if that's one you're talking about or a different one, but I talked about becoming event-oriented to where our whole thing is, in 6 weeks, we're having this mondo, heavy-duty, fantastic drama, musical, laser, light show production. Man, are people going to be saved for that. And in the meantime, you got 6 weeks. And so in pioneer churches, this is actually deadly, as they got, right? So, okay, I have something coming up in 2 months. They gear up. And on that night, the power was shut down. It rained, you know. All that. So then what? The guy goes, okay, well, in another 2 months, and it's like, why aren't you just instead eye for opportunity, witnessing personal evangelism and outreach is actually how a church is built. We do events. I believe in it. We put on events. But my faith is not in events. And that's the eye for opportunity.
You say doing events makes it easier for the devil to target when to attack?
So what we're going to do is we're going to have outreaches and not put the time on there. You'll never work it out. Or we'll tell everybody in tongues. Yeah. He will never work it out.
No, I mean like how you would say like in 2 months we're going to do this, and in 2 months we're going to do that.
Sure.
And just be faithful.
Yeah. So if that's only one of the things you do, then that's fine. Right, but I teach all over the world as pioneers. That's a mistake. That's a mistaken way to approach. When I pioneered in Launceston the first time, I was there for 18 months, and in 18 months, it was actually only 2 weeks before I left that we had someone totally unconnected, strictly came from a flyer, got saved, and locked into the church. But we grew the whole time. Because it was people witnessing, evangelizing, hey, you know, come, opportunity. And so that's how a church is built. I told you that I arrived on a Tuesday, and we met somebody, and they said, what are you doing Saturday? And how come? Our friend has a fashion show. And I have zero interest in fashion show, but it was at that fashion show, which to me is the stupidest thing on earth, that I met Mike and Elena Cook. And out of that, Mike with his beard, his cigarettes, and foul mouth, and witnessed to him for the first time, and they're pastoring today. Mm-hmm. Right? So, it didn't matter about the events. My events were helpful, but they didn't really build the church. So I wasn't dependent. Very good. Okay, guys, that's all I got.